Let's begin to learn. Good evening, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Parshas Naso, famous associations of Parshas Naso are the Sota and the Nazir. Certainly, there have been, modern-day Nazirs. Famously, one of the cooks leading Talmidim was known as the Nazir. And there are some very practical things we can learn out from DNA Sota, certainly the realm of, marital purity. There's certainly things to talk about that are practical. However, we are going to do a halacha, a mitzvah, that is hiding in the parsha. And then from that mitzvah, we will, break away into a contemporary issue. So let's learn the parsha a little bit with the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam. And we'll talk about a contemporary halachic shaila. So what does the parsha also say by Mibra Perek Zion, Pasuk Vav, Zion Ches Tes? They speak about these presents that Klal Yisrael donated when the Mishkan was ready to be inaugurated. And every member, every shevet with donated wagons and animals. So in total, in addition to all of the, the korbanos of Minasim, the Shvatim decided to give presents to the Leviim and the Kohanim, and they donated wagons. And in total, there were a total of 6 wagons, and every wagon needed 2 bulls, right, to pull the wagon. So Pasuk Zion says, "Es shtei ha'agalos v'zarbas ha'bakar, nasan l'mnei Gershon." So kivi avodosav. So out of the 6 wagons, 2 of them went to Gershon. Beautiful. Pasuk Ches. Ves arba'a agalos, and the remaining 4 wagons went to Merari. So we know that the Leviim all had to carry different things. Gershon carried the curtains, the coverings. Merari carried the boards and the planks. So since Merari's lifting was a little bit more heavy, it makes sense that they would need more wagons, right, to carry these big, heavy wooden beams and planks. So they got more wagons than Gershon. But Pasuk Tes, the 3rd son of Levi remaining is Kohas. Kohas carried the holiest kelim of the Mishkan, and they did not receive any wagons. Ulivnei Kohas lo nasan. No wagons were given to Bnei Kohas. Ki avodas hakodesh aleihem bikatef yisau. You don't get wagons to assist you in carrying the Aron Kodesh. Rather, says the Torah, you need to carry the Aron on your own shoulders. Ha! And that's a beautiful vort that you can relate b'derech drush to Shavuos. That when it comes to learning Torah, no one's going to learn it for you. You have to accept the yoke of Torah on your own shoulders, etc. It's a nice message. However, in addition to the nice message, there is a very real halacha that emerges from this pasuk, namely the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvahs mitzvah asei lamed dalet codifies this as one of the 613. He shet sivanu sheyisau hakohanim Ha'aron al ksif kasveyim. If you're a Kohen, you're carrying the Aron in the Midbar, you got to carry it on your shoulders.
Leviim.
So Adam points out that there is something less than consistent. In the context of the Parsha, this gift was accorded to the Leviim. However, at the time, right, the Rambam is going to address this point very quickly, actually, directly. There weren't all that many Kohanim. So at the time, it made sense to give the gift to the Leviim. But long term, it's really going to be for you're right, Adam. That's the observation, and the Rambam does address that explicitly. But what is the mitzvah that when the Aron is transported, it may not be put on a wagon; it must be carried on the shoulder. And the Rambam elaborates on this din in Hilchos Klei Mikdash, Avoda. We are in Perek Beis Halacha Yud Beis, I guess, right? So when one were to transport the Aron from one place to another place, here it is. One needs to carry it on their shoulders. So somewhere AB along here, maybe I cut it out of the Sefer Mitzvah. I guess I only gave a snippet of the Sefer Mitzvahs, but the Rambam did address your point explicitly that although in the Torah there was a gift of the Leviim, long term, it pertains more to the Kohanim. But yeah, it's a fantastic observation. But again, the mitzvah is to carry the Aron on your shoulders. And in Tanakh, unfortunately, this happened one time where when David forgot about this and the Aron was being transported on a wagon and it was about to fall and Uzzah tried to catch it and pick it up. He died, right? So I think I get the story right, but I think my Uzzah was trying to prevent it from falling, if I'm not mistaken. But in that context, the Aaron was being transported on a wagon, and that led to the death of Uzzah. And therefore, the Rambam says it's a mitzvah to carry it on your shoulders, not on a animal, not on a wagon. Okay. So very nice, beautiful idea. Now, practically speaking, right, what? Transport, where does it apply nowadays?
So there are shuls that have, when the second sacred Torah comes out, they have a sort of a place where they put the sacred Torah away. Most shuls don't do that. They want actually someone to hold it.
Meaning the insert.
So number one, what you're doing is you're jumping from the Aron to a modern day Sefer Torah. That's the jump we're going to make. Seemingly, you know, on a very straightforward level, this is in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash, and this is talking about the ultimate Aron in the Mikdash. So I want to use this as a springboard for the way we transport our Sefer Torah nowadays. But I don't think it's actually the same. Meaning, it's not like what we talk about nowadays in moving a Sefer Torah. It's not the same halacha, but I'm just using that as we learn some background in the Parsha. There's a mitzvah to transport the Aron Kodesh, the Holy One, the Holy Ark of the Mishkan of the Beis Hamikdash in a very specific manner. And so, too, there's a halacha about how to transport a Sefer Torah nowadays. Adam is already saying that in some shuls, when they do Hagbah, they put the Torah in a special place. And other shuls insist that the Torah is held. So which way seems more bechavod? Adam, what do you think is a preference? Someone holding it, for sure. You're saying putting it in some insert to stick the, you know, the eighth sky and the two of them into two holes is less than ideal, even though it's a designated place?
Yeah.
That's a pretty common minhag, though, no?
Well, the reason is not only that. Someone holding the Sefer Torah. You have to hold it correctly. The person could have, they're not the right machshava. The person could fall asleep. So
actually, I had that machshava. I woke someone up. He was holding a Sefer Torah.
It's a dangerous thing.
Yeah.
So, especially in a long parsha, it's a practical issue.
So what we're going to speak about now is the halacha about how to transport a Sefer Torah. Because this is a Gemara in Maseches Yuma. It's a Mishnah. And then it's elaborated on in the Talmud. Now, Bavli, Talmud Yerushalmi, here we go. Let's learn a little bit of
Here's it's a practical idea. Question when you're bringing it to a sefer.
Oh.
Or you're bringing it up to camp.
Yeah.
Or you're taking it on a plane to Eretz Yisrael.
There it
like
is.
That. So that's a practical question.
That's exactly what we're talking about. Very good.
But what I've seen is, you know, if I see them that have a small sefer Torah, they have a small little suitcase.
It'll be very good. Yeah, it happens all the time. People are transporting sperm on a Sefer Torah on a plane, all over the place. Does learn a little background. Hopefully, we'll appreciate context of the halacha.
What they do is when they transport it from Israel, the Atzei Chayim are not connected yet.
So it doesn't have the same kedusha.
It didn't have the Atzei Chayim. So it's just a cloth. It's not a sefer.
It doesn't have a formal sefer Torah. That's fascinating. Wow.
Can you take the Atzei Chayim out to transport?
I haven't seen that. There's an AB saying that sometimes they wait to finish the Sefer Torah when they travel. That's a good chap. But let's see Gemara Yerushalmi. It's a Mishnah Masechta Yuma that describes the Yom Kippur procedure. And after the Seir La'Azazel was dispatched, so there was actually a public reading of the Sefer Torah as we lay, you know, on Yom Kippur. So that Torah portion was also read in the Beis Hamikdash Mamish. And there was a whole procedure of how to pass the Sefer Torah to the Kohen Gadol. So first the Chazan HaKnesses, no Tel Sefer Torah, but no Tel Rosh HaKnesses. Rosh HaKnesses, Nosel L'Skar, Mashgan, Nosel L'Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Omen, Abakaba, V'Korei. Okay, so essentially the first Mishnah in the seventh parak of Yuma says that the Torah was passed from one individual to the next all the way down to the Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol would then read the Torah on Yom Kippur in front of all of Klal Yisrael on the Beis Hamikdash. That's a very beautiful Mishnah. They had a whole procession of how to take out the Sefer Torah. Beautiful. Ask the Gemara Yerushalmi, though, in the next verse, he says, whoa. Bechol asar at amar holchin achar ha-Torah. General practice is that we go to the Torah. Bechachan here, at amar, molichin es ha-Torah, etzlon. Who's supposed to go to who? Here the Torah is coming to the Kohen Gadol. Would it not be more appropriate for the Kohen Gadol to walk towards the Torah? Right, that would be the more respectful way to at least treat the Torah with respect. So that is the Gemara's question. Why is it not a bizayon? Why is it not disgraceful to the Torah to have it passed like a baseball from one individual to the next to the Kohen Gadol? The Kohen Gadol should walk to the Torah. And then Gemara answers, Ella, rather, al yidei shehein b'nei adam gedolim ha-Torah mis'alaben. Since the individuals who were dealing with the Sefer Torah in this context were particularly notable, dignified people, they were important people, so therefore, it's actually an honor for the Torah to be passed in that scenario. The Torah gets to go to the Kohen Gadol via all of these other important officials in Klal Yisrael, so therefore, it's okay. So what we see from this Gemara is that there is both a Chumrah and a Kula. Status quo is that Torahs should not be moved. Rather, people should go to the Torah. Yet the very same Gemara justifies the Mishnah and says, well, if we're dealing with a dignified context, namely dignified people, it's okay. Okay, so yeah, this is the background.
The Mishnah says they shouldn't do what they do in the store, that they walk the Torah around the whole room.
You know why?
It's not dignified people all
around. Did everyone hear Adam and Amy? Did anyone here on Zoom hear that? All right, so Adam's saying that, especially in modern Orthodox communities, when they take the Aron out of the Torah out of the Aron, they don't just walk it straight to the Bima. It's not a direct flight, right? We know that there's a whole formality that often, at least when I grew up, the rabbi and the president of the shul walk around the shul with the Torah. People shake the rabbi's hand. They'll shake the president's hand. They'll kiss the Torah. It's a whole, Israeli day parade over there.
That's one good thing about the pandemic.
Well, as there's one good thing about them in Ashkenazim, right? A lot of these things that kind of, became Torah Misinai in Main Minyan are Yeharag V'Hayavor, in Ashkenazim Minyan. Right, we don't let that happen in our Minyan. Not to worry about it. Yeah. I remember I was like basically threatened when I was hired. Like if you ever sing Be'en Arachitz in your Minyan, you are out. There were like a few things that were categorized as particularly schleppy. But I think everyone was eye to eye on that one. But either way, Adam's making a very good point that it seems to be maybe a little bit inappropriate not to walk the Torah straight to the Bima. And A.B. saying, especially that there are people in the crowd who might not necessarily be on the Madrega of the Skan, the Kohen Gadol. Or
it's not Gadolin. It's not the Bnei Adam Gadolin.
Well, fair enough, everyone has the status of
Gadolin. It's not the Bnei
Adam Gadolin. Let's just say there are people more corrupted in the Kohen Gadol, unfortunately, than down in New Jersey. I hear what you're saying. All right, now let's see how the Shulchan Aruch presents this halacha. We'll try to come away with some very practical scenarios. And I'll tell you my story, my first halachic shaila ever in Fairlawn, New Jersey. Here it is. Shulchan Aruch writes like this: Bnei Adam hachavushin mebeis ha'asurin. People in jail. So there is no Torah in jail, at least traditionally. There is no Torah in jail. So let's say you have a guy in jail who's an innocent, wonderful rabbi who was unfortunately convicted at anti-Semitic times. Unfortunately, we have a whole list of Rishonim who were imprisoned. Not fun. So should you bring them a Torah? Says the Shulchan Aruch, absolutely not. Ein mevi'im etzlam sefer Torah, afilu b'Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur. So Rabbeinu Tam, the Maram, the Rinnenberg, where we're talking about some big people who spend time in prison, And unfortunately, right, the halacha is that we don't bring them a Sefer Torah. Why not? It's exactly this halachot. The standard in this religion is that the Torah is too holy. So therefore, your job is to go to it. You don't tell the Torah, I'm available tomorrow at noon. You go to the Torah. The Torah doesn't have to go to you. But then the Ramah comes back and gives a heter. Behind the Davka B'Shasa Kriya Levad, we're only talking about bringing the Torah to someone so that you can lane or they can lane. That's inappropriate. To schlep the Torah to jail, cop a quick leaning, that's not appropriate. Aval, however, im mechinim lo sefer Torah yom o yomayim kodem, if the sefer Torah was brought a day or two in advance, mutter. That apparently is permissible. Why? Because it's not respectful to do like a quick handoff, like a baseball. Here, take the Torah, read it, and I give it back. That's baseball and Torah are not the same. However, if it's given a few days, apparently that establishes a new home for the Torah, and that is no longer disrespectful, but it's appropriate. If it's there for, we'll say, a short period of time, and that's okay. It doesn't have to be so long. The Lashon of the Ramah, again, is 1 day or 2 days.
Also, there's an issue that you should be laning out of it 3 times.
Oh, very good, Peter. Excellent. We'll get there in a second. So that's Hetzer number one of the Ramah. Hetzer number two of the Ramah, Vimhu Adam Chashuv Bechol Inyan Shari. So Hetzer number one of the Ramah is that if it's for a couple of days, it's okay. And Hetzer number two is that if you're transporting the Torah, seemingly even for a very short period of time, as long as it's for an important person, that's okay. Ha. So kind of like the same Gemara Yerushalmi, where the first line was a Chumrah and the second line was a Kula, so too in the Shulchan Aruch. The first line was a Chumrah, the Shulchan Aruch is Machmir. You can't just bring a Sefer Torah to prison. And then the Ramah comes out and comes back and at least broadens the Halacha to allow for certain limited attainment.
Yeah, but it's pointing out one difference. The prison that you're talking about is the people were incarcerated by the Goyim.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, like the Gedolim were in prison, so they weren't guilty. Today, Babaneinu Harabim, you have grown people in prison who made a Chil Hashem, and you know, that's a different story. And they have Minyanim, they have et cetera, they have Dafyomi. So that's the question. It's no longer a Kavodat Torah, possibly. If it's hard to be in prison.
Yeah, let's maybe speak. It's an interesting question. I don't know my hunch is like this. They have a minion of men in prison and they want a safer Torah. That's a great thing. It's not a great thing that they are in prison. Yeah, but sometimes, you know, Yitzhar gets the best of people and they are caught up in some financial scandal. You know, that doesn't mean they shouldn't be zocher to hear laning. You know,
but it's not the same.
Oh no, but yeah, but in that case, it's fine anyway because it's already established as a mug, and I'm sure they have an Aron, and that's like the permanent Sefer Torah. They're very fine chaplains who do a lot of good work in these rehabilitation centers, or, you know, whatever the official term is these days. And in Smicha, there's a very wonderful chaplain who taught us not to give up on prisoners, and you know, so that's we'll say my Masora. And that, so I know very fine people who served time in prison for, you know, issues that they had, you know. You're going to very fine people with very fine yitzharas, you know, and some mistakes, you know, lead to jail time. And, you know, they're just as loving husbands and fathers. And again, I mean,
we're not talking murderers.
Yeah. Most of the time, people who are in the Dafyomi prison are very fine people. Who just, you know, they sort of got the best and they try to make a little of a sleazy dollar. You know, they serve their time, and, you know, whatever. It was a complicated circuit. But unfortunately, you know, I'm not that old that I know some very nice people who are in that category. You know, all right, moving on. All right, so let's say the Bir Halacha, the Chafetz Chaim. So he has we'll do a little bit of lumness and then we'll do some practical. He doesn't understand this Halacha. This would be MS Adavar Tamua. This is a wonderment. He says like this: the Gemara Yerushalmi was speaking about a Kohen Gadol who just as easily could have walked to the Torah. The Torah was right there in the Beis Hamikdash, and for some reason, instead of the Kohen Gadol walking to the Torah, they had the Torah passed to him. That's why the Gemara was bothered and said, "Why would you choose to have the Sefer Torah passed to the Kohen Gadol when just as easily the Kohen Gadol could have walked to the Torah?" However, in these cases, both options are not on the table. If someone is in prison, there's only one way for the two to meet. The only way the Torah and the person are meeting is if the Torah is brought to the person. That's not considered a zilusa. Here in the second line at the end, he says, "Lama lo nevi'a aleim my zilusahu, the Sefer Torah." People are trying to go out of the way to hear laning if they're in prison or if they're sick. And that's the only way to do it. So the Chafetz Chaim does not understand why we would not bring a Sefer Torah to people who cannot get one. There's no Zilusa in there. But, fair question. So that's what he says. So Uladina said, I skipped a little bit in there, but Uladina, he passes like this. He says, even the Mordechai, who's the Shulchan Aruch's source, right? The Shulchan Aruch quoted the Mordechai. And why is the Mordechai Machmir? You know why he's Machmir? He says it's only one individual in prison. You have one individual in prison, so he doesn't have to hear laning as it is. Because laning is a chovas atzibur. As it is, there's no chiv. But to schlep a sefer Torah to a prison when there's no real obligation, that's when the Mordechai would be Machmir. However, what emerges from this is a tremendous kula. He says, the Chofetz Chaim, that when there are 10 people in prison and there is a chiv, even the Mordechai, the source of the Shulchan Aruch, would say that since those 10 people have a chiv, even the Mordechai would admit that tzarich lahavil am sefer Torah lekros. And this is the Eli Rabbah also said this pshat, that he was machaven to the Eli Rabbah. Those two gedolei poskim, the Eli Rabbah and the Chofetz Chaim, are saying that any time you're dealing with a minion of people who do not have the Sefer Torah, you may bring a Sefer Torah to them. So even though A.B. brought up a very good point that they have a minion of people who made a Chil Hashem, ironically, right? Again, here, we're not talking about that. We're not talking about Chil Hashem. We're talking about, you know, a case of people who need and want a minion, and it's considered covered of Torah to bring them. That's a pretty amazing shita of the Chofetz Chaim. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. The very first time I spent Shabbos in Fair Lawn was on a TABC Shabbaton, and I wanted to make a Shalosh Shittos by the Jarrah Show home. And I was under the Jarrah Show's a TABC family, Baruch Hashem. And at the time, Eli Jarrah Show was a senior. And I heard there was a Sefer Torah on 2nd Street. Ha! Now I know about the famous 2nd Street minion. So I said to Danny Jarrah Show, can we daven mincha in your basement? You know, is there a way we could get a Sefer Torah? And he said, yeah, there's actually a Sefer Torah on my block. But isn't there some issue about transporting a Sefer Torah? So the very first question I ever had to deal with in Fairland, New Jersey. So I asked Rabbi Adler and Rosh Yeshiva, you know, it was TABC Shabbaton. It was only appropriate that the TABC Rosh Yeshiva make the policy decision on this one. I was representing TABC. I didn't want to pass because in this case, you go to Rabbi Jachter, you go to Rabbi Adler. Rabbi Adler's former Rosh Yeshiva. So he told me something from Rabbi Soloveitchik. I don't remember the details at the time. But he said, not a problem. Similarly, Rav Schechter Shlita, he allows schools to go on Shabbatons, you know, and to bring a Sefer Torah. And this is certainly the minute that happens all over the place. All over the time. I remember Ari Lieberson, his 10-minute halacha, at the time this year was given, it was the year 2012, I think. And he said, Rav Schechter said the DRS seniors could go to Boston on their senior trip and bring a Torah with them. That's what happens on Maisim Shabbat Yom. Especially this time of year, it's June, you know, people go on their trips and they bring the Sefer Torah. So let's try to get a working language here for the practical halacha. So we said, again, the Ramah brought one heter that, again, if it's an Adam Chashev, over there for a couple of days, and the Bir halacha said, if there's a minion of people and there's no other way. Right now, technically speaking, if I'm making Shabbaton, I could have scheduled mincha in a shul. It would have just ruined the whole Shabbaton, right? I mean, but technically speaking, I could have arranged for mincha to not be in the Jarosh's basement, meaning if it was really required, you know, we could have arranged for the mincha not to be in the Jarosh's basement. So let's learn a little bit about Mishnah Berurah, and we'll try to come away with an appropriate language for these halachos. Here we go. It says the Mishnah Berurah, someone who's in prison, so it's not only prison, but so to a chola. And that was where the Shulchan Aruch was the Machmer, but now here's Kula, whatever we're up to, number four. Mishnah Berurah says, V'yesh cholkin b'chol zeh kevin de'anusim him, that anytime a person is anus, namely, they really have no alternative, maybe it's okay. And he says, certainly Parshas Zachor is a Doraisa, b'vada yesh l'hakel. Hudin, maybe also Parshas Para. So that's even seemingly talking about an individual, right? One person in prison. Parshas Zachor, seemingly the Mishnah Berurah is saying, not a problem, because he said by 10 people, not a problem ever. And even seemingly by an individual, Parsha Zohar, you could schlep a Sefer Torah, but again, not in the most practical scenario. But it comes up by handicapped people who cannot make it to shul. So let's say someone wants to hear Parsha Zohar, we don't usually schlep Sefer Torah to people's homes. You know, you could go to an elderly person's home on Rosh Hashanah, blow shofar for them. People schlep a Megillah, laying, you know, Megillah's Esther on Purim. I've never heard of anyone schlepping Sefer Torah to a house and laying Zachor for an individual. We don't usually lane from a Torah for an individual. Usually, we recommend in that situation to lane from a Chumash, right? Has anyone ever seen that? That they schlep a Sefer Torah to a person's home? Right, so yeah, so right. So I think during COVID, right, people just read it from a Chumash, and you know, like, you know, I don't think people, you know, ever transport a Torah around town, right? It seems like that would be inappropriate, right? Unless I'm wrong, right? Has anyone ever seen that? I don't know, it seems weird. All right, now the Shulchan Aruch says, again, that we don't schlep it around. Here's where he says, black and white, we don't, why don't we do this whole thing about schlepping on the Sefer Torah? Because it's zilzul who the Sefer Torah, to take it to people, you know, it's more appropriate to go to the Sefer Torah. All right, now let's try to get a little bit more juicy, some of the more nuanced cases. All right, now, here it is. Breakaway Minyanim. It's already in the Mishnah Berurah that people wanted to get aliyahs. That he says, you know what people do? That they take the Sefer Torah to get an aliyah. So essentially, apparently it was not even simple story. So I'm at the Yom Noraim. At Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, people would take the Sifrei Torah out of the shul and make private minyanim in their homes. Why would they do that? He says, well, maybe, he says, because everyone wants to get an aliyah the Torah, but he says very black and white over here, about ein zeh maspik v'zalzel b'sefer Torah. It's not a sufficient justification to go schlep the Sefer Torah down the block. So imagine someone taking the Sefer Torah out of shul and making a left and going down Boyd, you know, going to the Pavel home, and, you know, just so everyone, more people get an aliyah. It's ridiculous. You know, you don't take the Sefer Torah out of shul and walk into someone's private home and just, he says, unless what? He says, unless the following is the scenario. They sell the aliyahs in shul. And if they sell the aliyahs in shul, and now they're also going to sell the aliyahs in the breakaway home, and you're going to misrab, underline the line over here, so if it leads to a greater success in the Yom Kippur appeal, that would be a justification, you know, i.e. in the same way that Rosh Yeshiva belittle themselves and, you know, fly around the world to raise money. So the same for Torah also. All right, so money goes a long way, says Adam Karp. Ultimately, this is Mishnah Berurah talking, you know. All right. Now, Peter Weissman said a very, very important point before, that don't you need 3 days? So the Ramah didn't say 3 days, he said a day or two. So let's dwell on this idea. So that heter number one, the first heter of the evening was, it's okay if the Sefer Torah is brought there for somewhat of a short time period, but as long as it's not like a one-time thing. So here's the Mishnah Berurah.
Peter's talking about it. I've heard it, but we don't do it in ceremony. It will only take the day to the house if they're going to lane it there.
Yes, avails. Right, very good. The Shiva has. That's not the halakha. All right, so yeah, let's get to the Shiva. We'll talk about the Shiva has. Here we go. So Mishnah Berurah is v'achronim eskimu du'adinim heichin makom Sefer Torah ba'oso yom. So even if it's not a day or two or three, but let's say they prepare a place for the Sefer Torah, that would be sufficient. And this is what gets a lot of, let's say, youth organizations around the Shabbaton issue. As long as you have a dignified Aron Kodesh, right, which we're looking at right now, Adam's pointing in the corner over here, we'll say the COVID-19 Aron Kodesh that they would put outside on the table, since there's a designated place for the Sefer Torah, that is respectable and not a zilzul of the Sefer Torah. It says, as long as you put it there before you need it. You can't, again, the whole idea is that you don't want to treat a Torah like a baseball. You can't just throw it in and throw it out. So if you prepare a place for the Torah but don't actually put the Torah there, you've missed the whole point. The idea is that you want to prepare a makom and then put the Torah there. Okay, so what happened? And then you take it out. The achar kach, then you put it back in that little aron, then it's not abundantly clear like the Torah is being used in a transportable fashion. Sometimes we mess this one up, right? We think that as long as there's an Aron there, it's okay. But nonetheless, the Torah is just quickly like put in and taken back to where it needs to go. So the Mishnah Berurah, though, expanded the Ramah's Hatter. The Ramah said that if the Sefer Torah is being read for a couple of days, it's okay. The Mishnah Berurah said, and if it has a designated location, it's okay as long as the Torah is actually being put there before it's used and after it's used. And Hatter number two of the Ramah is that an Adam Chashuv, if you're bringing the Torah for a dignified person, it's okay. Who is that person? Says the Mishnah Berurah, Ritzalomer, a Gadol B'Torah. So not just a fine person, someone who is uniquely known to be a Gadol B'Torah. He says, what an honor it is for the Sefer Torah to be by a, you know, Talmud Chacham. And then he quotes the Sefer Shemon HaMor, D'Bechashuv Afi. Oh, this is an interesting machlokas. Do you need both criteria or only one? Let's say you're a big deal, you're a big Talmud Chacham, but you are able to walk to shul, so you're not in prison. Is that enough of a justification for the Torah to be brought to you or not? Well, after all, I'm an Adam Chashuv. Yeah, but you can go to shul. So that's the machlokas quoted here in the Mishnah Berurah, that the Sefer Shemon HaMor says that if you're Chashuv, it's justified for a Torah to be brought to you, even if you're not considered an anus, even if you're not imprisoned or seriously ill. That no, if you're chashuv, but you have no excuse, that's not sufficient. You need to be number one chashuv, and number two have a very legitimate excuse why you cannot go to the Torah. And then Mishnah Berurah concludes, v'tov sheyachin mako. So in any of these situations, a way to get around it is by establishing a set location for the Torah to be placed in. And this is what leads us to the Shiva house. When we deal with the Shiva house, so does the Torah have a set Aron? And show me that we always give an Aron to a Shiva house?
That's the Shiva house.
So the Aruch HaShulchan is the one who says black on white. He says the minhag is to be medactic, to read three times, exactly what Peter said, because that's considered kivias ve'ein bizayon. That which you're taking out of the basic Knesses is not a bizayon. However, here's what the Aruch HaShulchan is not known to be machmer. Aval bepachos migim upamim, if you use the Sefer Torah less than three times, till tulua letzorech arai, that's only considered a transient usage, v'yesh bizayon, af im heviwa mikodeh. Even if you brought the Sefer Torah before it was needed, you needed it at 11 a.m., you brought it at 9 a.m., not enough. You need a minimum of three leanings. And then he goes on to that story about the breakaway minyanim on the Yamim Noraim. And he says it's a bad idea. Bad idea. And he says they think they're doing a good thing by getting an aliyah. But he says the negative actually outweighs the positive. And they're doing an aveira. And all the more so to do an aveira on the Yamim Noraim is even worse. Yee. So the Aruch HaShulchan is ironically a little bit more machmir than Mishnah Berurah on this one. And that would explain why certain communities are machmir. They have a minimum of three kriyas or torahs for Shiva house. But he's saying we don't do this in Yom Kippur. Well, every Shiva house, by definition, will have a Monday and a Thursday.
No, not if you don't sit the whole time.
You don't sit the whole time.
It happened by me. It was sat in there in Charlotte and I came here.
And what are they?
I think the fact that we have an Aron there.
Right, so Peter's saying you have an Aron, so you already have the Mishnah Berurah to rely upon, right? What did the Mishnah Berurah say? As long as, number one, there's an Aron, and number two, the Torah is put in the Aron before the minyan and kept there after the minyan. Now that would be something we have to be careful for, to make sure that the Torah is there all day. You have your own Sefer Torah, maybe, that you had there?
So we'll get
to that point as well. So is there...
Oh, next time you have a TABC Shabbaton, you know...
Very good. I know who the... So now I have two guys. I have a Zev Jarosho number by Danny Jarosho and AB. Okay, now Halavai, we should be Zohar, could have Shabbatons again soon. Bezos Hashem, Baruch Hashem, COVID slipping away, Baruch Hashem. So do we have a Sefer Torah like that in Shomer Torah? That's like the designated like base of El like Sefer Torah. All right, it's 9:28. Marvin, 2 minutes. Let's just
they do.
All right, let's just conclude now that it's 9:28. Rav Moshe Feinstein dealt with the case What's it here? Last 60 seconds. Moshe Feinstein had a case where people wanted to move the Sefer Torah on a portable aron, like with wheels, to make a chuppah. He said, no way, no way, no way. So you don't move the Sefer Torah. Now, what's the chab here? The Sefer Torah was never moved out of the aron. So you might argue it's not a zilzul because it was always in the aron, and you're just moving the aron. He says, no way. Moving a Sefer Torah is a bizayon, even if it's kept in the aron. But what's another big heter? It's quoted in the Kaf HaChaim. He says that there is a concept of people who write a Sefer Torah from the outset on the condition that it's like meant to be transported. That's okay. That's quoted in the Kaf HaChaim, that if it was known from the outset that it's like my Sefer Torah and it will be used to be shared, that's okay. And interesting, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva about what happens at the Kotel. And the Kotel, this comes up all the time because they're, you know, they're just copying different minyanim with different Sefer Torah. It's a little bit of a problem. Let's just say a different heterim, but one heter for sure that's brought up in the Kaf HaChaim and the Tzitz Eliezer is that if the chevra who's davening go to the Aron and walk with the Sefer Torah, that would be okay. But there are people who wanted to daven in their sukkah and they would go into the home and the whole minyan would go greet the Torah and escort it to the minyan. Then that way, you're going to the Torah. And the whole point originally was that you should go to the Torah, the Torah should go to you. So that's what they did. They actually walked to the Torah. So essentially, there's not a lot of heterim. And the last one we said, that if again, if it's a private Sefer Torah and it was originally written, you know, with the intention to be shared, it's okay. All right, it's already 9:30. We have to stop here. All right, my friends, all the best. Thank you so much for coming. All right, Robert and Abel, we'll figure out the proper timing for next week. All right, everybody, Shavua Tov.
Thank you. Bye-bye.